KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Gwinner and our sideline reporter for the Bearcat Radio Network, Karen Mullins, is over to our left as she'll be helping out with some of the giveaways we'll have throughout this evening. Got a good show on hand tonight. We'll be talking with Northwest Women's Golf Coach Andy Peterson and also a player off of his golf team and Maddie Probst. And we'll also talk Bearcat football a little bit later on as head coach Adam Dorrell will join us, as will running back on the team Phil Jackson in the second. So that's all coming up on our show this evening. And Matt, before we go on and talk a little bit of Bearcat football, we got one of our broadcast crew having a birthday tonight. Karen Lawrence turning 21 here at Carson's this evening.
Excellent. This is a perfect place to turn 21, that's for sure. Celebrate with a case of wings.
That's right. All right. And what a week we had in sports on the Northwest campus and campus and points beyond. First of all, the Northwest football team, a good win last Saturday afternoon defeating Missouri Western.
Yeah, definitely. We knew going in that was going to be a challenge of a football game, and it proved to be that way. But Northwest able to overcome that, remain unbeaten on the season, going 1-0 again last week, and have a big one coming up, setting up an even bigger game, I think, this weekend by getting that win last week.
And again, that Bearcat defense just did a heck of a job last week.
Yeah, they have. They've been consistent all year long. Even if you've got anybody that doesn't play well in a game, it's maybe one or two guys and you don't notice it because everybody's playing so well around them. They've been able to battle through some injuries and still keep that consistent level of play up. And it's going to be very important this weekend against a very good offense from Emporia State.
No doubt about that. We'll talk with Adam Dorrell about that game coming up a little bit later on. But I think about week three or four of the season, as people look down the line at the schedule, kind of eyed this game coming up Saturday with Emporia State, that this could be one for the conference championship.
Yeah, and as we got closer and Emporia was undefeated there for a while up until they played Hayes, and then even after dropping that game to Hayes, you know, we saw how good Hayes was, so you knew it was still going to be important. And now with what's on the line, you know, Emporia State has been one of those programs that's been trying to build from the ground up. Coach Higgins over there has done a great job to get them to where they are at. The next step for them is to get at least a piece of a conference championship or win one outright. And this Saturday is a big opportunity for them to do that, to try to make that step in that direction. Of course, they got a pretty good team in their way, but they have made some huge strides as a program over the last three, four, 5 years, and an opportunity to take another one for them this weekend.
Yeah, I think the big key for them this year, they've been able to keep their quarterback healthy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think they may be protecting him a little more than what they did in the past. Plus, I don't think they're as deep at quarterback, so it's been even more critical to make sure that he stays healthy, and they've been able to do that to this point. But, you know, part of that is his talent as well, and being able to elude those opportunities at injury, get away from defenses, get rid of the football, and not have those opportunities to get injured come up.
And Emporia's defense probably is a little bit better than what statistically you look at, just because the offense is so prolific in scoring. The defense gets out there and plays a lot of minutes.
Yeah, that's one thing that's a big key. When you see the big offensive numbers, the, you know, 35, 40 points a game, yeah, that's great, but they've had some quick strikes, and that defense has spent a lot of time out on the field. So if you looked at it, and I haven't yet, but I bet if you looked at it statistically, taking the number of minutes that they spend on the field compared to the number of points given up, they're going to show you that they're a pretty good defense. It's just they're out there a lot because they do have an offense that can strike quick and strike often. So we'll see if we can, I don't know, if you can overcome that. You know, you keep that offense for Emporia State, it may be a lower scoring ball game if the defense isn't out there as much, but that means you're holding the offense down as well.
For soccer, they concluded their season with a win Sunday afternoon at the Bearcat Pitch. A nice come-from-behind win against a team that defeated them earlier in Leonardwood.
Yeah, and really neat thing about it, with it being senior day on Sunday, the four goals were scored by three of the seniors that were recognized at halftime on Sunday. So you saw them score a couple of goals late inside the last 5 minutes to be able to get that victory. So it was kind of a good way to close out the season, and hopefully something that they can jump off of for the future.
Volleyball closed out a couple of home matches over the weekend, and they finished out now with some big matches on the road.
Yeah, they've got the rest of them on the road. The next five are on the road, but this weekend is a big weekend. Right now, five teams in the MIAA have secured spots in the postseason tournament. Northwest is sixth right now. They can be the next team in, depending on what happens this weekend. But, you know, they've got a good Nebraska-Kearney team that they match up against. And then the real opportunity is against Fort Hays State, the team that's directly behind them in the standings. So maybe with a win over Hays this weekend, or even a couple of wins this weekend, you secure that sixth spot in the MIAA postseason tournament. And that was one of the goals set at the beginning of the year, is make that tournament and see if they can make something happen.
All right. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. A reminder that support for the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. As always, our thanks to Carson and Renee here at Carson's and the waitstaff for all the work they do each and every Thursday of our program. So, got a lot more coming up. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we'll talk of women's golf next, as the head coach of the Northwest women's golf team, Anthony Peterson, will join us. That's coming up right after this timeout, as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. The right bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from National Investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Craig Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCB KRNW as we talk Northwest Missouri State women's golf, and head coach Andy Peterson joining us. And coach, looking at the results of the last couple of meets you guys played, and it looked like a pretty strong finish for the team.
Results were good. Yeah, we didn't shoot real well. That's the negative of the whole thing. It's one of those, you know, you can win but not play well, and I think that was kind of the case the last 2 weeks. The tournament here at home, we played well. That was a good tournament for us. 316 and then a 327 or something like that. So those are numbers that's where we want to be, is in 320s, 310s. That'll get us where we're going to go. When we went to Park, the first day was tough. It was just windy, so didn't play great. Played well enough, but I thought it was a tough course. The Nationals a tough course, so playing there was good. The next day we played a whole other course, so I wasn't expecting to be better or anything, but we just didn't play real well. It was just one of those we played so well the first day with the conditions and the wind that even a 47 stroke lead, you're not going to lose that. So it was good. You know, the good part was the girls playing those two courses on back to back days and just totally having to trust themselves and play golf without relying on any other experience. Every time they came, I mean, on a practice round, we didn't even get to play a practice round. We just got in the golf carts and drove around and took notes. So, you know, every time when you come up to a shot and you don't know where you're going to end up or even what the hole looks like necessarily, it's kind of tough. So, you know, we didn't handle it great. It wasn't awful, though. And we went down to Oklahoma, and we were just, I don't know if we were tired or just kind of fatigued maybe, but lost a little bit of of spunk there and just didn't shoot real well. The finish was good. You know, second place is good. If we do that all the time, we're going to be pretty happy. But the scores were high, 335 and a 347 or whatever it was. You know, that's to do what we want to do in terms of making the regional and stuff, we need to be in the 320s, three teens, and we can and we'll make it.
With most sports, the field and or court is the same size no matter where you're at. When you talk about playing different courses, different styles of courses, different grasses, you know, there's so many factors involved. How tough is it to make comparisons tournament to tournament when you're looking at factors like that?
Very, and that's why it's misleading in, you know, you get second, you get first, you get second. But you look at your strokes more so than – and once again, it's I keep kind of always go back to basketball analogies, you know, but I can't stop you from scoring. I can't get between you and the hole and when you're putting and distract you or guard you or whatever. So
that would be as funny.
That would be fun, though. I think we got – we might be onto something there. But just – you know, you're not truly playing the opponents, you're playing the course. And so that's where it gets tricky when you're comparing things. I mean, you go to different gyms and the background's different. You know, if there's a stage behind the hoop or it's just a wall or it's a big arena that's behind, you know, so that's, and that's like the course being different. You know, the different grasses and things and just the lay, you know, none of the layouts are the same. It's not like every course, the par three is on hole number three and hole number seven. You know, I mean, some courses, they're tight, you know, right around each other, 7, 9, 11, and 13, you know. So, and then if you, you know, if it's a shotgun and you start on hole seven, you play three par threes real quick, and then you don't play a par three the rest of the day. So everyone's different. Everything is relative, though, in that. So that's why for me and just getting a grasp on, you know, your stroke average, how you're playing, what are you to par, you know, because if you're playing close to par, and that's why, you know, golf is golf, your stroke average and how you play compared to par should really be fairly steady, you know. So there's a lot of courses we play that par 72, obviously, but I think we played on two this year that are 71 and one that was 70. So, you know, you can move that around and mess with it, but it's just once again, it all comes back to just you're competing against yourself. You got to keep yourself in the moment, what's going on. The girl that, you know, the girls are playing with, if they're shooting really well, that can't bother you. You can't, like I said, you can't stop her. You can't distract her or anything like that. You just got to continue to play your game and try to, you know, play well. And the other part of it is, you know, sometimes you're playing with the girl that's not so good, and she's in the trees on the right, punches out trees on the left. You know, by the time you get to your ball, she's hit three or four times. Then you hit onto the green, and then you got to wait for her to pinball it up to the green. So you're, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes between each shot. It, once again, it just becomes to a staying focused, staying in the moment, you know, and that's what can make it tough. So there's a lot of variables.
When you guys are practicing and working on different things, is it just go out and play around, or do you try to get into some specific spots on the course, maybe some trouble, not because you hit it there, but you go over there and you just work from that spot, that sort of thing?
In the fall, really, not really. It's our non-championship segment, so we're really limited on the number of dates that we can be together in terms of just practice times, workout times, things like that. So, you know, when you limit it, and it's 24, our number's 24, and every time we have a tournament, that's 2 days. A practice round and the tournament counts as one. So, you know, in the fall, that's half of our dates. So we only have a few practices, and the girls, you know, they're more comfortable making adjustments and improving on the range. So we just, a lot of range stuff, just, you know, that muscle memory, getting everything into the flow. All the girls are playing at their best, or should be anyway, at the end of the summer. They've been playing all summer at home with their golf pro, with their swing coach, whoever it may be, you know, playing tournaments weekly or biweekly or whatever. And then we get to golf, and we start that first day of school, or second day, or fourth day of school, technically. But that first weekend, you know, we're in our first tournament. So they're playing at a very high level at that point. So you kind of just flowing with that and letting that go and not trying to change too much or do too much, because they're, you know, 6, 7 months into their game from when, you know, it's been nice out and they can play outside. So the spring is when we'll start doing that. We'll get some more very specific in terms of what we're after, what we're trying to improve. You know, for the most part, we handled bunkers, we handled hazards pretty well this year in the fall. Part of it is just because our girls are so comfortable with their swing, you know, they know where they're going and how they're getting out of it. But, you know, when we get into March, and you've only been practicing for 3 or 4 weeks and you hit that first sand bunker, you know, that's going to be kind of daunting. So when we get in the spring, we'll get a little more specific and kind of hunker down a little more on what we're after.
Is there anything really that can be done once the cold and the winter sets in for them to work on some things?
We're working on some things in terms of indoor hitting, you know, trying to get a simulator up here and set up. The girls can get in and just see, you know, ball path. You know, that's the biggest thing for them. It can feel good. It can sound good. But once it's off your club, you really can't do anything with it. So, and when you're hitting it in a net that's about 4 or 5 feet away from you, you really don't know what you're doing. So if you're just in there all summer just hitting in this net, and all summer you're hitting a draw or, you know, a huge slice or a bad hook or something, but you can't see that, you know, every time you swing, you're just reinforcing that bad muscle memory. So to have a simulator where they can hit, you know, it hits the screen and it goes virtual, but it's true ball flight, so, you know, they can see where they're hitting it, and it's pretty accurate. So we get that set up, that'll be a good thing for us. You know, other than that, we'll do a lot of strength conditioning stuff with Joe and, you know, a lot of chipping, putting stuff just in some indoor space that we got, and just try to stay fresh. The other part is, you know, they have been playing golf for 5, 6, 7 months, and there's always that time period where you need to kind of get away, just refresh a little bit mentally, refresh a little bit physically. You know, we got a couple of minor injuries and, you know, some imbalances and stuff just from constantly, you know, swinging. So we'll get those corrected and just kind of get away for a little bit and be ready to go when spring comes.
How long do you usually see in the spring before they're back to being comfortable again once they get back outside?
You know, I'm just a year into this, but yeah. Last spring, you know, it took 3 or 4 rounds, just full rounds of playing. You know, you see glimpses of it for a couple of holes, but then, you know, it kind of, something gets away from them, and it's a little more frustrating because you don't have the experience or you don't have the recent memory of getting out of trouble or, you know, being in trouble and getting through it. So, you know, it takes 3 or 4 rounds. I go back to last year, and, you know, we same 5 or 6 girls every tournament. You know, and we consistently got better. So it'll take a little while, but that's the goal, is just to when we go to that first tournament to be ready to go and compete at the highest level we can.
When you look at, you're talking about using basketball, obviously that's kind of your background. In terms of trying to improve your individual game, golf, even though there are team scores, it's more of an individual mm-hmm. game. Do you find is there a difference in how players can approach their game, approach practicing, getting better at their craft between a team sport and an individual sport?
Yeah, just because it's so individual in that, yeah, that it's a team score. When we're out on the course, you know, they might see that one of their teammates a couple times around, you know, just, and that's on a tee box, you know, teammates walking up behind you, you get 4 or 5 seconds to chit chat with them, compare some whatever it may be, then you tee off and you're gone. You might not see him again, you know. Yeah. And that's for a girl that's, you know, right next to the other one. You know, the number 5 girl, she never sees the number 1 girl all, you know, throughout the round. So you can't. And you know, girls are a little more aware, I guess, of their teammates and stuff like that than the guys are, kind of just in my experience. But you know, the girls are always, well, how are we playing today? How's everybody doing today? Is so-and-so playing better? You know, they were really struggling around yesterday. And they're conscious of their teammates and how they're doing. And there's a fine line there of, I'm glad you're worried about them. I'm glad you want them to do well, but I need you to focus on your, you know what I mean? So there is a fine line there of the team aspect and the team mentality and doing everything together. But once you're out on the course, I mean, it's you and the course, and there's not a lot that anybody else can do about it, which is quite different, you know, than basketball or anything like that. So
you talked about them either feeding or reacting to who they're playing with, but when they are finding out about their teammates, can they feed off of that? Yeah, as well?
Absolutely, and it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had this fall. One of the girls asked me how everybody's doing, and we were playing really well. I think we were down in down at the Central Region in Olathe, and we were playing well. I thought, man, we're gonna have 4 girls under 80 or right at 80. And I told one girl, yeah, we're playing really well. And she's like, good, my score's not gonna count. And I was just like, whoa, time out here. You know, there's a lot of golf left to be played. So you know, you don't want to go that far and say, you know, we're playing 5, scoring 4, and the 5th girl, you don't need to. You can cash it in these last 5 holes because it can get away from you quick. So that happens. And then the other part of it too is, yeah, hey, we're playing well. We're right behind you. This is what we want to do. You know, you're leading the way. Keep going. You know, so It goes both ways. Honestly, it only can go as far as I go in terms of talking to them, you know, because they really can't. They don't get to communicate that much with each other. So it's pretty much me going, it's like a game of telephone, you know, and the styrofoam cups. It's just, it only can reach so far. And then I'm the one in the middle that's running back and forth, chit-chatting with them and comparing notes and things.
Well, I'd say enjoy the off-season or between seasons, but yeah. You kind of don't have a between seasons.
You got to make a transition
to a little bit bigger ball.
Yeah, don't ask my wife about it either. But yeah, no, we've supposed to go to practice yesterday, and I got caught up in a meeting and didn't make it to basketball practice yesterday. And today was an off day, so we were kind of joking about it before we got on the air that I'm right back in the swing of things with the off day, so I can handle that.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That is Andy Peterson, head women's golf coach at Northwest Missouri State, and we're going to continue to talk golf. When we come back, we'll talk with one of the players from his team, Matty Probst. We'll do that right after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering auto glass, rock chip repair, and replacement glass for tractors, combines, and other agricultural equipment. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or online at MarylvilleGlassAndLock.com. Support for today's Bearcat Coaches Show comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show here on KXCV KRNW. As we mentioned, we're continuing to talk Northwest Missouri State women's golf, and Matty Probst joining us. I've been saying it wrong. It's about like my golf game, so there's no problems. But Matty, just talk about this fall portion of the season and how you felt things went for you and for the team.
Oh my, things went so fast. We have big goals, and I think we did a good job fulfilling those goals, and we have high hopes for the spring. So the fall we've used as kind of just practice, just to get ready for the spring and get back into what it is to be in a tournament, because it is different than practice. And so I think we're just excited for the spring.
How do you try to use practice personally? Like you mentioned, it is a lot different, but you have opportunities to work on things. How do you approach practices?
Well, I think after we get done traveling and we come back, there's always something that we can pull from that experience and work on. So if that tournament I didn't putt very well, I'm at the putting green a lot. You know, not worrying about my long game, because hit the ball fine, just working on putting. So I think it varies from time to time. So
do you feel like you guys obviously get to play both courses here in Maryville practice-wise?
Yeah.
Do you feel like those courses prepare you well for a lot of the courses that you see?
I think so. The country club, whenever we play a country club, we practice there sometimes and qualify there. So just to get the feel, because it's a different than Mazingo. So I think having two different kinds of courses in town is awesome. It helps us a lot.
Is there a certain style of course that you prefer to play?
Yes. I'm from Richmond, Missouri, Wausau, Missouri. Yeah. That's where I graduated high school from. And it is tree-lined and tight, and that's what I prefer. So Mazingo is a challenge sometimes. When we qualify there, I don't always qualify the greatest, but when we go to a tournament that is tree-lined and tight, I do better.
Can you attribute that to anything? Do you just feel like maybe sometimes there's too much freedom out of Mazingo?
I think it's just comfort level. I think, you know, I started playing my eighth grade summer, so I haven't been playing that long. But I think just being around that, I just got comfortable to it, and that's just, it makes me focus more too. Whenever there's, you know, a tight fairway, you have to focus on hitting the fairway. Whenever it's open, it's a little easier to, you know, go askew. So,
well, how do you approach? You kind of have a strange season in the sense that it's two seasons
right.
in one, that sort of thing. How do you try to approach the off season or the between season section?
We do off season weights, so keep us active, keep us all that. But this year we have a simulator. Really excited about that because last year we didn't have that opportunity and we just had a net. So this one, I think the simulator is going to be awesome. Just, you know, swinging a little bit, and hopefully the weather isn't so super cold so we can get out every once in a while. But I know I take every opportunity I get to go to the golf course when we have a nice day. So
I was going to say, it feels like recent years, it stays maybe a little warmer later, like
yeah.
we're kind of seeing this year. So you do get a chance
yeah.
to kind of, even though now it's individualized, right?
Right.
There's no team work or anything, but you can get out as often
right.
as possible.
Yeah, I went out today. It was gorgeous today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie. When you get into the spring portion of the season, the as Coach called it, the championship
yeah.
portion, is it a different feel than the fall season?
A little bit. A little bit more rides on it, I think. Personally, I think that the fall is just practice, and we kind of have it in our mind as, you know, just practice. We want to do well, but, you know, we've got time to figure our swing out if we're having issues. And the spring is a little more serious in that sense, so trying to figure out your swing early on so you're in the groove when it comes around to the end of the season, what counts.
And for you, what do you have as some of your goals for the spring season after what you were able to do this past fall?
I want to do well at conference, for sure. Do better than what I did last year. I have high goals in placing. I want to do top 20, so it's not unrealistic. I'm excited. Excited to see what I can do.
You mentioned you started golf a little bit late.
Yeah.
What eventually got you into the game?
My dad wanted me to play when I was 6, and I didn't like it. And I played softball competitively all the way up until my 8th grade year, and then things didn't work out with that, and so switched to golf and wasn't half bad.
It's close. It's swing and hit a
yeah.
ball. So close
yeah.
enough, right?
Easy enough, right?
And you always get in trouble for uppercutting in softball.
Right.
Here you
right.
can uppercut all you want.
Yeah.
Well, Maddie, thanks for joining us. Good fall and good luck to you next
Thank
spring.
Thank you.
That is Maddie Props. She's one of the golfers for the Northwest Missouri State Women's Golf Team. And when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to Northwest Missouri State football. We'll do that when we come back here at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Meyer Auto Center in Maryville, offering new vehicles from Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. Meyer Auto Center also offers pre-owned vehicles and GM-certified service. More at MeyerCars.com or 660-582-2116.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at NVB.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're broadcasting live on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, and we're joined now by running back for the Bearcats and Phil Jackson II. And Phil, good to have you with us here tonight.
Nice to have you. Thank you.
Phil, coming into this weekend's action, undefeated on the year, bringing in a 9-0 record into a matchup with Emporia State. And before we talk more about Emporia, let's just talk about you individually and seeing the the yards begin to pile up a little bit more game after game here as the season goes along, and just kind of talk about the success you've been having at the running back spot this year and why you attribute that to.
I kind of think that's been happening because in practice we've been focusing on doing our 111s and doing our job. The line's been doing a good job really practicing on the run blocking lately. Wide receivers have been doing a great job blocking downfield, and tight ends seal on the outside. So that's really a testament to what we've been doing lately. So, you know, you can't just put it on one person or on the group of running backs. It's everybody. That's what it takes to get the job done.
It really seems like you got a good quarterback there, seeing Jordan Grove step up and help out in the running back spot. Cameron Wilcox has done well as well. So it looks like you guys really have kind of gelled together and give the opponents a little bit of a different look out of every one of you there.
Yeah, it's great to have multiple guys be able to go out there and play. You know, it keeps you fresh, keeps each and every one of us fresh. So to have, you know, Cam and Jordan and even Emmanuel, even Chase, you know, be able to come out there and do what they can do. And that's just, you know, show that we practice hard.
And you're really getting at the point of the season where the running game really takes on extra importance when the weather starts turning a little nasty out there. You want to have a good ball control out there. And really in the playoffs, when you play some of the northern schools, there's going to be a lot of importance on that running game.
Yeah, we always, AD, you know, talks about it. He likes to not save us, but he doesn't want to use us too much at the start of the season. So we're ready for the end of the season and going into the late in the season. So that's when we're going to run the ball, when it gets windy, when it gets cold, rainy. You got to hold on to that ball. So it's kind of hard to pass, and that cold weather, that ball gets pretty hard.
So it's going to be your time here before too long, then.
Yeah, it's going to be our time. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We just really focus on run blocking towards the end of the season, and we do a good job of it early, too. We just try and, you know, our offense is so balanced. It's hard for one person to get a bunch of stats, and we don't really worry about that. We worry about winning those games.
And that's really the big thing. And when you got a bunch of guys that aren't worried about individual performance as much as what it looks like on the scoreboard at the end of a game.
Right, yeah. I mean, like I said, nobody really focuses on stats. If you ask one of us after the game what our stats were, we'll never know. You know, it might look at it a day or two after, but we're really just happy that we won the game and did everything we needed to do.
And let's just talk about the last game down in St. Joseph against Missouri Western. How good of a win was that for you guys?
Oh, that was great. You know, we struggled a little bit at first, but I think we needed that adversity, kind of show what we can do when, you know, times get tough. And we found a way to, you know, make our adjustments and get those touchdowns that we needed on the offense, you know, passing, running. And the defense, they always do a great job. I mean, they're just amazing. You know, we're so lucky to have a defense that can, even if we, you know, go three and out on the 20, and, you know, we punt that ball 30 yards, they're just going to stop them. You know, we have no doubt that we're going to get back out there and get another chance.
Hey, you've had some big wins already this season, but what's it mean to have a win against the nearby rival Missouri Western? What's that mean for you?
It's really great, you know, because they're 45 minutes down the road, and knowing that it's Missouri Western, that you just beat Missouri Western, is always a great feeling.
And it was a hard battle down there, too. They played a good game against you guys.
Yeah, they have a really good defense. That's the reason why they're number 2 in the MIAA. I mean, those guys play their gaps well, they shoot the gaps well, and they tackle well.
Now let's look ahead toward Emporia State coming up on Saturday night. From your standpoint, preparing for an Emporia State defense, what are some of the things that you guys have been trying to prepare for against Emporia State?
Well, they play kind of like Missouri Western when it comes to playing their gaps. They don't overflow. On, even if we run stretch, they're not going to flow super hard. They're going to play their gaps. So that cutback's going to be pretty hard, but I think we can get it. But we just, you know, doing our 111s is the biggest thing in this game. You know, it's a big game, and everybody knows it's a big game, but we're going to, you know, do what we've been doing all year, is doing our 111, practice hard all week, and go out and play.
How much fun is it to be in the next to last game of the regular season and playing for essentially what will be a conference championship Saturday night?
I mean, it's really awesome. I mean, that's why, you know, kids come here to Northwest, because they know they're going to be playing for a conference championship every year. And, you know, if we can get this done, it's going to be a great thing.
Now, you come from the Chicago area, Carroll Stream, Illinois, and just kind of talk a little bit about what brought you to Maryville and Northwest Missouri State.
Oh, it's really just the family atmosphere. When I came up here, it kind of reminded me of my high school, because we had the same atmosphere in my high school. You know, I was really good, really close with my coach and really close with AD, and that's really, I got here and I was like, you know what, this feels like, you know, it does at home. I feel like I'm at home. I feel like this is a place where I can really excel.
And talk about your high school career and some of the highlights you had in high school.
Well, biggest highlight was getting to play with my brother. He plays at Northwestern right now, Justin Jackson. Getting to play with him senior year, we made it to the semifinals, and just always having a good game in high school, you know. But in college, it's a lot different. You're not always going to have a great game, and so that was the fun part about high school. But what I love about college is that, you know, I'm on a winning team. We do a great job. We work hard, and, you know, AD and the coaches, they do a great job of help getting us a way to win.
You ever talk to your brother about the wins you're piling up here at Northwest and kind of compare things a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously different levels, and, you know, our competition is hard, their competition is hard, and it's just, you know, he's at a school that, you know, they're building, and they've been building, and they're doing a great job over there. Northwestern Fitzgerald's doing a good job, and, you know, we just, you know, we want to keep doing what we're doing, keep winning, and keep doing our 111th, like I say.
And just talk about growing up together and playing football together and things like that, and just how that has helped you to get to where you're at right now.
I've always played with older kids ever since I was a kid, and my brother's always played older kids also, and, you know, him being able to play varsity football when he was young as a sophomore really helped him excel, and me, you know, playing also as a sophomore, half of my sophomore season I played varsity, and that really helped us excel and helped us learn what we need to do and work hard and what we need to do to be able to come to college and do a good job.
And let's just talk about, besides the football aspect, I know that takes up an awful lot of time, especially during the fall, but talk about the academics and some mm-hmm. of the interests outside of football.
Yeah, in our household, academics is super important. I'm a business management major. My brother, he's crazy. He's a finance major. So, you know, that's tough. So, but it's very important. We always, you know, that's our main focus of academics, because we know there's a small chance that we'll go to the NFL or anywhere else, but we know there's still a chance, but we're going to, you know, have a backup plan, you know, and so just to make sure you do well in school. You don't have to get all A's, but as long as you're getting A's and B's and you're trying hard, our parents are okay with that.
And what are some of the things you like to do to just relax?
Oh, well, I like to fish. I like to hunt, which is...
Well, you came to the right part of the country for
right,
that. Right,
exactly. But, yeah, and I like to just, you know, sometimes sit on the couch. Mondays is our off day, and that's the day I really take to just relax and, you know, get off my feet. If I do go fish, it'll be for a half hour or so, but I really make sure that Mondays I get off my feet, relax, maybe watch a little TV, read a book.
All right, well, Phil, thanks a lot for being with us here on the program this evening, and congratulations on the season you had so far, and hopefully you've got quite a few more games left to go this year. So
thank you very much.
Again, that's Phil Jackson, running back for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team. We'll continue to talk football when we come back. We'll be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Durrells. He'll be joining us right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville. Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing and copying of letterhead, envelopes, business cards, posters, and more, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More at 562-4657.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Remington Nature Center in St. Joseph, featuring the Journey Through Time display. The center also features the life-size replica of a woolly mammoth, an aviary, and available conference space. More at stjoenaturecenter.info.
Support for today's Bearcat Coaches Show comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we're joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Durrell, after a big win Saturday, a victory over Missouri Western. And, Coach, again, a good win for your team Saturday.
Thanks, John. It was good. We had a lot of fun. Great atmosphere. It's amazing to me when we go in down there and our crowd's bigger than theirs, and that's got to be obviously, I think, probably pretty deflating to them. So it was good. It was great to see our guys. Thought we did some good things. I think we could have done some things better, but when you get a win like that on the road, we'll take it.
What is it like? Is it encouraging or what? When you've talked about it pretty much every week, we still have a lot of room for improvement, but you still have an undefeated record.
Yeah.
How is that as a feeling as a coaching staff, having those two things meshed together?
Well, it's fun because, like I said, I've been just really pleased with the kids. They show up each and every day. And again, I think we played really good defensively and did some good things on special teams. Thought we left some points out there offensively, but to see our guys show up right away Sunday and they know they probably could have done some things better, that's the stuff that's encouraging when you're not having to necessarily point that out to a kid. They know, yeah, I could have done this better, could have done that better. That's what makes our group very unique right now. They care about each other. They're working really, really hard each day. So it's a lot of fun.
And we've seen this a number of times this year when you're faced with a little bit of adversity out on the field. The team just doesn't panic. You got fell behind off real quick in the game Saturday, but came right back and got took care of business.
Yeah, they did. And again, that's it's a sign, I think, of a good football team. I'd like to say old, but obviously we're not an old team. But, yeah, I think it's a sign of a good team and guys staying relaxed. It starts with our seniors just staying focused and talking about it on the sideline. But, yeah, it was great to see.
We talked about your seniors and how there aren't many of them, but let's talk about next year's seniors. At what point in a season do you see that the group of juniors are going to be a good group of seniors? There's going to be some good leaders in that group. Is there a point where you kind of have a pretty good feel of what you're going to have?
Yeah, I think you start seeing that in the winter. I think you start seeing some of those juniors start developing, like Phil, for example. But I think you see it and then carry it into spring football. And, you know, again, our kids vote for captains. And so, you know, obviously we had a lot of juniors receive votes for captain. So that, again, as a coach, that kind of tells you that that guy's probably most likely going to trend to being a captain his senior year. And I think it carries into what they do as a junior on the field, too. I think that's important. And then, obviously, again, when we transition into winter conditioning, it just kind of starts back over.
Now, the experience you've had this season with, again, a good close win against Central Missouri, you've won a number of games in a number of different ways. Just talk about how that will help you when you look. You got Emporia State coming up, and hopefully down the line, a nice run in the playoffs. How the battles that you've had so far this season, how's that help for the rest of the year?
Well, I hope it, like you talked about earlier, I hope the kids don't panic in the crucial situations. I think the big thing is that hopefully they keep their composure and they stay focused in the situation. There's so many situations in a football game. Obviously, being behind, that's one you're talking about, but to me, when you're down, you have to heighten your concentration and be able to focus on the situations, the things that we've worked on all week. And again, sometimes when you're not winning, that can be difficult.
When you talk about trying to go 1-0 every week and always focusing on the 1-0, is that kind of designed to help with that focus, to maybe take some of the pressure off, that you're not worried about anything but what's right in front of you?
Yeah, that's I think that's one reason why we do it. I think it certainly helps do that. I think the other one that's I've been really excited about this year is the fact that I think our kids are having more fun this year, being celebrating the victory, celebrating the little things in between. And that's something we talked a lot about in the off season. Let's not worry about – it almost just seemed like, man, kick off, okay, now let's get ready for the end of the season. And that's just a bad recipe. I think that's a I think it's a recipe for failure. And so we talked a lot about that in January, and I'm proud of our kids because they're living by it, especially our seniors. It was great to see them all week. We had just a tremendous week of practice. We really did. And to see them having fun, and you know deep down they're starting to understand that their time's coming to an end, you know, and that gets hard. It does as a senior. So I think they're trying to cherish every minute that they can right now.
I think that goes back to the tone you set really in spring, but also this fall. I know when you were talking to the team during practices, to just enjoy the process and enjoy the each and individual game and things as you go through.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, number one, I think it helps you stay focused. I think kids have fun. If kids are having fun, I think they stay loose, stay into practice more, and then it's just a residual effect.
You know, obviously the cold weather is going to be coming, and you guys have seen the running game improve. You've talked a lot about needing to have that in this part of the country. Do you feel it's on pace to get to a point where it'll be ready for the cold?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's still some things, obviously, we can do better there, but certainly we have started transitioning our focus there a little bit. And not just that, to think about the kicking game, punting, and we get plenty of practice punting into the wind and kicking into the wind up here, obviously. So it gets our guys ready to go with that. But, yeah, I think those things those factors are going to play into it, getting cold. And, again, it's something we talk about. We try to design what we do, offense, defense, and special teams, knowing that hopefully we'll get an opportunity to have to endure some of that a little bit.
I think one thing that we've seen the last several weeks, too, just improvement of the play on the offensive line.
Yeah, I've been proud of those guys. I think they've gotten better and continue to get better each week. It's a group that works extremely, extremely hard. They spend a lot of time together, spend a lot of time in the video room together. I think that's one of the things people maybe don't understand. To play offensive line, those five guys from the right tackle to the left tackle, their communication has to be really good with what we do nowadays and trying to snap the ball quickly. Compared to how many defensive fronts you'll see, blitzes, things of that nature, there's not a lot of time for those guys to communicate. So I feel like those guys have gotten better in that aspect. And, again, stuff you can talk about on a board, you can watch video, but until those guys get in those live fire situations and have to start doing that when the bullets are flying, it's a whole different deal.
How much of that communication on field is verbal? How much of it is just you know the guy next to you and what he's likely to do? How much of that mix?
It's both because, again, you know, some of the difficult things is if you're trying to talk a little bit too much and things start happening, they start sliding the front on you. If you're talking too much, quarterback snaps the football and you're not ready to go. So it's honestly a little bit of both.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And when we come back, we'll talk about the matchup coming up Saturday night as Northwest will face Emporia State. That's coming up right after this timeout. We're broadcasting from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers a selection of new automobiles and pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateChryslerDodgeJeepRam.com or 660-582-3677.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Taco John's of Maryville and St. Joseph, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday until midnight and Friday and Saturday until 2 a.m. More at ilovetacojohns.com.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives, Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville. Across from Walmart, Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. Or at nvb.com. or at any of their eight locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now, as I continue to be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And AD, a big matchup coming up Saturday. Emporia State comes in with just one loss on the season. The Bearcats undefeated. You've got national television and a Saturday evening game.
It'll be exciting. We've talked all week about a lot of things, but the thing that just kind of resonates with me and I think our kids is when you get into recruiting. I look at our senior class this year, how many of those kids we recruit on the premise of, hey, you're going to get a chance to play in big games like this, play for a conference championship. So that's what makes it fun. You know, when you go out and recruit and you get those kids and they're here, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's one of those games that potentially you could get overhyped for, but it seems like with the level-headedness of your team, like homecoming is an example. You talked about a lot of distractions that they're able to overcome, and it seems like this is one of those teams that can handle a situation like this.
Yeah, we're hoping. Like I said, it's something we talked a lot about, and it starts with our seniors, and you got to stay focused on the things you can control. Don't try to do too much. I've always talked about that in big games, and I think that's always been you look, traditionally we've played pretty good in those games. It's just, in my mind, the problem you start having is if kids try to do too much and try to do more than they're capable of doing, and if they get frustrated if something's not going their way or working out the thing the way they thought it was going to work out, I think can turn very negative in a hurry, and they don't want it to be, but it can. So we've just tried to talk about doing our 111th, taking care of the football. I think ball security is going to be huge. Who wins the turnover battle? Kicking game. If you look at Sean Bain and look at their punt returner, very dynamic. A lot of potentially hidden yards in the special teams. So I think that's going to be important that we punt and kick well. You know, they're going to have a plan. I'm sure we got to have a plan, but you got to go out and execute that plan. I think that's going to be very important. And so obviously their quarterback's a great player. About all you need to say. I mean, we're just discussing it off the air here. He's special. He's played a lot of football games. I think he's a great competitor. You know, he's. I don't think some people have understand. He's been playing a long time there. It's just he's been injured. You know, and he's gotten through a full season. And they've changed what they've done a little bit. They don't run him. You know, they used to run him a lot. And they don't do that anymore. And I think when he takes off running, they collectively hold their breath on the sideline. But. It's going to be a big challenge, but, man, we're really excited. We've had a great week of practice.
And I know you have an awful lot of respect for what Emporia State's been able to do with their program.
Yeah, I do. I think Aaron's done a phenomenal job. You know, I've gotten to know him pretty well and become good friends with him. And I think he does a lot, maybe more than anybody in our league with less. And, you know, I mean that as a total compliment to him. That he's gone out and recruited really well. He's been there a while now, but they do a very good job of developing players. And, you know, for example, their starting defensive end that a couple of years ago was a tight end. And the fact that they've been able to flip him, and you see the girth that he's put on, and not just flipping, but he's playing well. And to me, that's a testament to good coaching. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for those guys. They've done a great job.
With their quarterback, he plays well, but it seems like his surrounding cast, it really helps him out.
Yeah, it does. I think he's got a really good offensive line in front of him. They get rid of the ball quickly, play with a lot of up-tempo. They'll go up-tempo, and the next thing you know, he's checking the play. He's very good at that if you tip your coverage too early or tip a blitz. And that's, to me, that's where he just kills you. If he gets them checked into a max protection, that's tough. Got a cast of receivers that are good. They're battle-tested. And they're running the football very well, too.
Now, when you look at Emporia State defensively, they've given up some points this year. But how much of a factor is their offense play a factor in what the defense is doing? Is that kind of skew things a little bit defensively?
I think so. They're playing a lot of snaps, John. And, you know, that's a philosophy program to program. You know, they're about getting as many snaps as they can on offense, which is great. But, again, that's going to turn around. And if you're not getting first downs, you're not moving the chains, you're going to play a lot of defensive snaps. And they have done that this year.
I guess when they played a lot of snaps, it gives you more chance to see what they do and prepare for them.
Well, this time of year, it's crazy because it's talking to our kids, and it's like, I don't know, five, six years ago, it was, I still think we're in the realm of you only traded your last three games.
Uh-huh.
And now it's, you know, everything's digital on the internet. You exchange every game, and so you can't not go look at the games. But, man, you go back and you look, and you start doing the scouting, and we do, by the time we take the five games that we feel like mimic us the most, we put them in a breakdown. Obviously, that's what we're looking at all week, looking and giving to the kids. I mean, it's in our five-game breakdown, I think it's 587 snaps. So uh-huh. It's a lot. It can get a little bit overwhelming. So you got to be careful to get the information out of there that you need and not get so much that's just saturating what you're trying to do.
And because of that, on another respect of things, because they have the same access to all of your games as well, how much do you try to save from a game plan situation for late in the season?
Not a lot. We always feel like we spend a lot of time in the off season coming up with plays and finding new ideas, so we always feel like we have enough ammo laying around, so we don't really look at trying to save anything. If we go into a game, and for us, John, it's all about looking at them, how they line up to a certain formation. I think we do a really good job of looking at their personnel. If you can maybe find a potentially a weakness, maybe a young guy, maybe a guy that hadn't played a lot, if you see a kid that potentially you don't think runs that well, or a guy that handles a double team block really well, I think we do a good job of diving into it, and I think the defense does a great job with that. If they can find one of the offensive linemen that's maybe not as good, you know, we can get Bevins or Yost matched up on him, and We spent a lot of time doing that, and to do that, it takes a while to go through and look at the film.
You know, talking about the excitement level coming up with this game this weekend, it seems like really every week there's good reason to be excited. You talked about the crowd last week. Yeah. Even aside from just game days, what's it like for the coaches and players just to be in the community, hearing from fans? And it seems like there's a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, there is. There's always a ton of feedback in this community, and it's so much fun. It's so rewarding. I think the thing for me, and I think Coach Wright would tell you, Coach Floor, Brandon and Joel are kind of spoiled because Joel never left, and Brandon went to Morningside, and they would win about 10 or 11 games a year. But, you know, for myself, Rich, you know, I've worked at some different institutions, and it was, you know, to win 5 games a year, it was hard. And so to be here, it's just exciting this time of year to be in the hunt, you know. And, again, I think it's maybe hard for some people to understand because we're in the hunt a lot, but it's not that way at other schools. And so as a coach, it's so exciting to be in the hunt this late. It's a lot of fun.
Now, as far as the defense goes, do you have Kevin Berg penciled in for 2 more interceptions?
We're trying. We told him that's the expectation moving forward. And that kid, he's relentless. It's just a lot of fun, man. He's a coach's kid. And you go back and you look at those interceptions, man, it's crazy. I mean, it's about – formations. He studies that much, just the little nuances, little ticks. Maybe a receiver's lined up a little bit tighter to the tackle than he usually does. It's telling him he's getting a post, or a guy's a little wider than normal, he's getting him out. And it's one thing to say you're going to do that, but when you get in there and they get lined up and you have about 3 seconds to make that decision and go, it's another thing to actually go do it. So, we're proud of him.
So it sounds like he's the kind of guy with all that information you got can really utilize it.
He does, and he's a great asset to have defensively for Coach Wright. We put a lot of stuff on him to get us checked into the right coverage and in the right front based on what they're doing. And, again, when you get into what Emporia's going to do, Kevin's going to be really critical Saturday night because Emporia tries to go fast, and it's going to be on Kevin to get us all lined up quickly.
All right, well, it's going to be a lot of fun Saturday.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Come on out. Like I said, I won't make any promises, but, man, we've had a good week, and our kids are real excited to get out and get going.
All right, that's the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. We'll be back and wrap things up on this edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high-security master key system setup and maintenance. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at maryvilleglassandlock.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Services, offering services from athletic training to physical therapy to total joint replacement. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat Coaches Show comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap things up on this edition of the program. Matt, ought to be a heck of a game Saturday night. Again, a reminder, folks, the schedule cards will be a little bit different. They had it as an afternoon game, but it's been moved to a 6 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, and same with the tickets. And don't worry, you don't need new tickets. They do say 1 o'clock, but if you show up at 6 o'clock, they'll still use those tickets. So you don't have to worry about that.
All right, and we'll have the broadcast on KXCV, KRNW, and the rest of the Bearcat Radio Network Saturday evening. 5 o'clock is airtime with the Bearcat game day, and again, 6 o'clock is kickoff. from Bearcat Stadium. My thanks to everyone involved with our program here tonight for Matt Gorder and also Karen Lawrence and Brandon Travis. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Hi, friends. I'm John Chasinski, president at Northwest Missouri State University. On this month's show, we have a great program, Segment 1, Mark Ford, AgriVision Equipment. He'll be talking about the ag industry and also AgriVision Equipment's partnership with Northwest Missouri State. In Segment 2, we'll talk with Becky Albright. She's the superintendent of Maryville R2 School District, and she'll be talking about all the great things happening there in the district. That's All Things Northwest, Tuesday, 9:06 a.m.
From the campus of Northwest Missouri State University, this is KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe, and now we turn you to